struggles within me. There have been times I've strayed away, even times I could not pray. But somehow my faith would say, just hold on, there's a brighter day. He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If your back's against the wall and you feel all hope is gone, have you often asked yourself, is there a reason to go on? Well, he looks beyond my guilty stains. His mercy takes the blame. So forget about your past. Just praise the Lord, you're free at last. He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree.
Good morning. Welcome to our Fellowship Facebook Live Sunday morning. It's good for you to be tuning in with us this morning. Thankful that we have an opportunity to share the Word of God together this morning. This is week three of our live stream only service. And I'm telling you, as I was watching the slideshow this morning that was taking place during our countdown, I knew that I missed my church family, but as sitting there watching that slideshow this morning, and thinking about how big of a part that my church family, my spiritual life, my faith in God plays in my life, I'm telling you, church, I'm missing you. I had to sort of gather myself a little bit before the camera came on to me this morning. I'm so thankful that we have that opportunity to share God's Word through Facebook Live, but I'm ready for us to be back together in God's house. I can fully understand the scripture that says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm looking forward to this place being full again, to being back with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But while we're in this time that we're in, I do want to express thanks for the opportunity that we have to come together on live on Facebook. I want to thank the ones that's worked so hard behind the scenes. There's a lot of things that go in to getting this to go up on Sunday mornings, and I really want to thank everyone that has a part in that. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sending messages and comments and texts. Thank you for sharing our post on Sunday morning so that we can get the Word of God out. All of those things are an extreme encouragement to me and to the rest of us that are putting on this Facebook Live, and then also to our complete church body as we all go and go through what we're going through and spend time together only through Facebook Live. I do want to be thankful also this morning that I have Hannah and Jennifer here with me. Hannah's going to sing a couple of songs for us this morning. So if y'all will, pray for Hannah as she sings.
For today.
Thankful to have Hannah and Jennifer here with us this morning. If you will, take your Bibles, turn with Psalm chapter number 118. We'll be taking our reading from there. Just thankful to have this opportunity to open God's Word, share the Word one with another for just a few minutes. Again, we ask you to be mindful to the Holy Spirit, even there in your living room or wherever you may be watching this morning. We ask you just to let everything else go for just a few minutes. Let the house settle down just a little bit. Bring everybody into one room there with you. Have a little church there in your home as we're together this morning. If you will, I ask you to bow your head and to pray with me and to surely pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your word, God. And dear Lord, as I'm here in this sanctuary, God, I pray, dear Father, that your presence will fill this place you said where there were two or three gathered together in your name that you would be in the midst. And Lord, they're telling us that we have to be less than 10 now, so I'm glad that only two or three gathered in your name is what it takes for you to be in the midst. And God, I know even more than that, you're in my heart every single day. You go with me everywhere that I go, that you will never leave me and you'll never forsake me. And I want to thank you and praise you for that. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into your word this morning, that you'll take your word and you'll speak to our heart. God, I pray that you'll help us to be mindful to your Holy Spirit. Let your Spirit speak to our hearts and our minds. And God, may we always live our lives in a way that gives you glory and may point someone else to the cross of Christ. God, I pray most of all, if there's one today that's listening, God, I pray that they're lost. I pray that you'll reach down and touch their heart. I pray that they'll see their need for a Savior. And I pray that today will be the day of salvation in their life. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Psalms chapter number 118, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." I got to stop for just a minute here with verse number 1. As we look here, and the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." I know this has sort of been a common theme over the last few weeks as we got into our messages and even our Bible studies about giving thanks. And I know sometimes that it is tough to give thanks. I know circumstances make it a little bit hard to give thanks. But I want us to look in Psalms 118 and verse number 1 as the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And then he gives us a couple of reasons why we should give thanks unto the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, that the reasons that he gives us is not because that our circumstances are good. He doesn't say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because you're walking in a really good place in your life right now." He doesn't say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because your finances are good right now." He doesn't say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because you have job security right now." But the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for he is good." And we understand this morning that the Lord is good. And the Bible tells us that all good and perfect gifts come from above. And we know this morning that we're serving a God that is good. And he is absolutely good all the time in our lives when things may not be exactly what we want in our lives, when things may be taking a turn, a downturn, if you will. I want you to know that we're serving a good God this morning. Even in the circumstance that we're in, that we have praise that we can give him, that there is glory that he is worthy of, and we should give thanks unto the Lord for he is good. I want you to look at reason number 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for he is good, and because his mercy endureth forever. I'm glad that I've got a God that gives me loving kindness, that he gives me unmerited favor, and that it endures forever. Let's continue reading with verse number 2. "Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever." As we know that Israel is God's chosen people, we also know as we study God's word that Israel went through times in their life when they walked away from God, then they come back to God, and then they walked away from God, and then they come back to God, and it was just a continuous cycle in their life. And even in those times when they walked away from God, that his mercy endured forever in their lives. I'm glad that sometimes in my life that I've walked away from God, but I'm glad that the mercy of God endured forever in my life. That even those times when I wasn't walking exactly where I should have been, in those times when I was falling and coming short, and as bad as we hate to say it, when we chose to have sin in our life, I'm glad that God's mercy endured forever in my life, and that he still looked at me as I was one of his children, and the only thing I had to do is ask forgiveness of my sin and come back to him. Let's continue reading with verse number 3. "Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever." We know that the house of Aaron was the priesthood of biblical times. Here in Psalms, it's talking about the house of Aaron. He's talking about the priest. We as God's men need to stand up and let people know that God is worthy of us giving him thanks because his mercy endures forever. Verse number 4, "Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever." If you're a child of God this morning and you know that Jesus Christ dwells on the inside of you through his Holy Spirit, that you have accepted him as your Savior, "Let them that fear the Lord now say that his mercy endureth forever." Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. You may be looking this morning, you may be saying, "Well, I don't know, preacher. That doesn't seem like a whole lot with what I'm going through right now." Well, let me tell you something. If you knew me the way that God knows me, you would not extend mercy to me. If you knew me the way that God knows me, you would say that I was undeserving for God's mercy to be on my life. If you knew me the way that God knows me, you probably would cast me out. But I'm so thankful that I serve a God whose mercy endures forever. And even though that God knows me the way that God knows me, He knows me from the inside out. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. The Bible says that He even knows the numbers of hairs on my head. I'm glad that even though that God knows me the way that God knows me, that His mercy still endures forever in my life. Verse number 5, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I don't know if you've ever been in a time in your life where you felt like you were in distress, where it felt like this world was closing in on you, where you felt like you were being confined by the circumstances of your life, where you were being bound by circumstances and troubles and trials in your life. But I want you to look what he says here in verse number 5. I called on the Lord in my distress, or in the distress, in a confined place, in a place where it felt like everything was closing in on me. Look what he says, the Lord answered me. I'm glad that we have a God that answers our prayers, that when I bow my head and I call upon His name, that He inclines His ear unto me. And not only that, but even when I don't know how to pray, the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit makes groanings on my behalf, and that Jesus Christ Himself goes and confronts the Father for me. How wonderful it is to know that the Lord answers me. He says, I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I want you to know this morning, as He is saying that the Lord, that He was in distress, He was in that confined place, that everything was closing in on Him. Can you imagine the freedom that He had when He says right here that the Lord set me in a large place? I know there have been times in my life where I was confined, when I was bound up, and it seemed like the Lord come in and just delivered me, and how wonderful it was to be in a large place. See, I'm a little bit claustrophobic. I wasn't always, but I've got a brother that's 4.5 years older than me. And when I was young, and he was always a lot stronger than me, he kind of made me claustrophobic. He used to take me and shove me into a sleeping bag and zip it all the way to the top, and then take a belt and tie the top of that sleeping bag together where I couldn't get out. I looked like a cat in a sack trying to get out of there. Screaming and a kicking, and I mean, I could feel the sweat beads popping out on me. I could feel the pressure on the inside. I was in a confined place. I was in distress. I was in a place, man, how wonderful it was when Mama and Daddy finally come in there and they loosen that belt. They would open the end of that sleeping bag, and then I got to be in a large place. How wonderful it was to be set free from being confined. How wonderful it was to be set free from the distress that I was in. Look, he says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. He will be preaching at 10:30 at Blues Grove Live. If you want to go in there and comment about how terrible that was for him to do that to me, that would be fine with me. Verse number 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Verse number 6, as we look this morning, I'm glad to know that the Lord is on my side. He's on my team. He's the best player that you could ever have. He is the best partner. He's the best friend. He is the best everything that you could ever have. And he says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In the time that we're living in, as sometimes as fear may begin to creep in, as sometimes fear is lurking right outside, maybe trying to come into our hearts and our lives, when that fear approaches you, when that fear comes knocking at your door, I want you to look at that fear and say, I will not fear what man can do to me. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. I'm not dependent on the government to get us out of what we're in the middle of. I'm not dependent on social distancing, even though I believe it's important to do those things right now. I'm not dependent on a miracle vaccine. I'm dependent on the Lord. I'm dependent on God to deliver us out of what we're going through right now. Verse number 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I want to go back and I want to read verse 7 with you this morning. This is the message that God gave me this week as I've been studying, as I've been praying and wanting to ask God which way we should go this morning. I want us to go back and read verse number 7. And I want you to know as we read this that I'm not trying to take this verse out of context. I'm not trying to give it meaning that it doesn't really have here in Psalm 118. But I just want to give you how the Lord spoke to my heart as I read Psalm 118, verse number 7. Let's look at it again. The Lord taketh my part. I'm going to stop right there because as I was reading and I read verse number 7, I couldn't get past those five words. The Lord taketh my part. I'm glad that I've got a God that took my part. And you read those and you read those words and you may say, well, those words can mean so many different things. And yes, they absolutely can. They can mean that he fights our battles. They can mean that he would stand in my place, that he has my back. But as we look forward to next Sunday, as we look forward to celebrating Easter, as we look forward to the empty grave that is coming next Sunday that I'm sure we'll be preaching about and I'm sure we'll be celebrating next Sunday, as we look forward to that, I want us to stop for just a minute and I want us to realize what happened before that empty grave came. I want us to stop for just a minute. I want us to realize maybe what took place before we got to the celebration of Easter Sunday morning. Let's not forget how that God took our part and how that Jesus Christ took my part there on the cross. See, he was a perfect, sinless man with no fault, no failure. There was nothing in him except for perfection, yet he chose to take my part. You know, as he stood there before Pilate, as they stood there and they brought all of these empty accusations, as they began to lie about him, as they began to accuse him of things that he was not guilty of, and the whole crowd there was convinced to release a murderer instead of his place, and as they found him guilty of crimes that he had not done, as they found him guilty of things that he was not guilty of, as he stood there before Pilate, and as Pilate even knew that there was no sin in this man, there was no fault in this man, and yet he turned him over to the people, and they took Jesus there, and they began to whip him with the cat of nine tails, as he was stripped of his garment, as they took him out there, and I mean, these were professionals using these whips on him, as they ripped his flesh apart, as they ripped it down to the bones, as this whip had pieces of glass and bone on it, and they began just to tear his body apart with this. I want you to know that it was me that deserved that whipping that Jesus took. It was me that deserved to stand there before those people, and even as those accusations have become known, that I would have been guilty of those accusations. It was me that deserved to have a crowd of people turn against me, but yet Jesus took my part as they took him out there and they whipped him with that cat of nine tails. It was me that deserved that, but Jesus took my part as they condemned him to the punishment of the cross, and they took him and they laid him there on the cross. And I want you to know that they didn't have him bound, they didn't have him confined, they didn't have him overpowered, but the Bible exactly tells us and actually tells us that he freely gave his life for you and I, that he laid himself down there on that cross because he was taking my part and he was taking your part. As we look and they nailed the nails into his hands and they nailed his feet there on the cross, as he was taking my part there on the cross, and as they picked him up and dropped him there in the hole, maybe as his whole body weight come down on those nails that was in his wrist or his hands and his feet, as Jesus went through all the pain and the suffering, as they walked by and they mocked him and they spat on him and they reached up and slapped him across the face, as they drove the thorns into the top of his head, as they reached up there and just continued to make fun of him and say, if you are Christ, come down, knowing that he could have well called legions of angels to come and rescue him there on the cross, but he was there taking my part and taking your part. As they done all of this terrible stuff to him, as he hung there on the cross, they gave him the punishment that you and I deserve. I'm guilty of sin. I have failed. I have come short of the glory of God. I have chose sin in my life from time to time. And I sure deserve the punishment that the cross gave. I sure deserve the punishment that Jesus took there on the cross. And yet he took my part as he was hanging there on the cross, as the sin of the world was put on him. Listen, I want to explain to us all and be sure that we fully understand that it wasn't just the murderer sin that he was putting on the cross. It wasn't just the sin of adultery that was put on the cross. But my little bitty sin that I consider so small in my life was put on him there on the cross. As the weight of the whole world's sin was put on him there on the cross, and as it becomes so disgusting to God the Father, and as he had to turn his back on his own son hanging there on the cross, and we know that Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was me that deserved to be forsaken by God. It was me that deserved for God to turn his back on me. It was me that deserved to be so ugly to God and to be so separated from God that God would turn his back on me. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ took my part there on the cross. I'm thankful that he loved me so much that he knew that there was no way that he and I could ever be reconciled. There was no way for me to have forgiveness of my sins without him taking my part there on the cross. We know that as he's there on the cross, as everything is coming to an end, the Bible says that into his Father's hands he commended his spirit, that he gave up his life, that he died there on the cross. We know that Jesus shed every drop of blood that he had for you and I, that there on that cross that he was taking my part. We know that he experienced death so that we would never have to experience death. See, when Jesus Christ went through that death, he gave victory. He gave victory as he come up out of the grave, and we'll get into that next Sunday. But as he defeated death, hell, and the grave, he gave victory over that death that I will never have to experience death. He took my part even in death. I'm so thankful that God loved me so much that he took my part. If you're listening this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, I think it's important to realize just how much that Jesus took our part. I think it's so important for us to realize that we were the ones that deserved everything that he had. I deserved death. I deserved to die. But yet I've been given everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've been given everlasting life because Jesus took my part in death. I'm thankful that he took my part. If you know him as your personal Savior, he took your part. If you're listening this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he still took your part. Before the foundations of the world, he knew that you would need a Savior. The plan was all laid out, and he took your part there on the cross. It is time for you to quit carrying your sin. It's time for you to quit carrying your shame. It's time for you to quit going around and thinking that everything that you're doing is okay and this life is just about you living. No, this life is about you recognizing that Jesus Christ took your part and for you to accept what he did there on the cross so that you can have a relationship with him and have an eternity in heaven with him. I want us to skip down a few verses. I'm almost done. Verse number 28. I'm glad that Jesus took my part. Verse number 28 says, "Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee." I believe if we realize just how much that Jesus took our part, I believe when we said and we think about how he took our part there on the cross, how everything that we deserved, he took and gave us completely what we don't deserve, and that's relationship with him, forgiveness, and a promise of a home in heaven. I believe that we will exalt him. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. I will lift you up, and I will praise thee. Verse number 29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse number 1, verse number 29, same message. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I'm going to ask you for just a moment, if you will, wherever you're at, just bow your head. Hannah, if you will, get us an invitation, a song, please. I want to ask you, if you will, just take a minute and let's look at our lives. Let's look. Are we giving thanks unto the Lord? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever? Or are we on that, when it's good, I'm going to praise God, and when it's bad, I'm going to get down in the dumps? When it's good, I'm going to lift his name up, and when it's bad, I'm going to look for other options. Church, we need to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. We need to praise him because he is our God. We need to exalt him because he is our God. Church, we need to realize for just a minute that he took our part. He took our place. Everything that we deserved, he took. If you're listening this morning, maybe you've taken that for granted. as I know that I have so many times in my life, in this time of everything slowing down for a minute, seems that I've found myself checking on my relationship with God more than I have in the past. Seems I've found myself looking at just what all God really has done for me. And He deserves exalting. He deserves my praise. If you're watching this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to know that His mercy endures even for you, that His forgiveness endures, that He took your part there on the cross. It's as simple as knowing that you have sin in your life, and that you need Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. It's as simple as believing that He gave His life there on the cross, that He took your part, but the cross wasn't the end, and there is an empty grave because He rose on the third day, and He's coming back for us. It's as simple as saying, God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I want you to move into my life. I want to give my life to you. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you right now, wherever you're at, to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. Christians, maybe you're in a place that you hadn't been walking where you need to walk. You know without a doubt not worshiping like we should. No better time than right now to say, God, forgive me for living my life for other reasons other than the one you created me for. Help me to live my life to give you glory and to point others to the cross. As Hannah sings,
storms raging high, the waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, they felt they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh, and He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still.
Thank you for being with us this morning. We'll be back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to leave comments or anything there on the post, and we're looking forward to being together once again. Thank you. Have a good day.